Yo, what's up, guys? This is the Toasty Podcast. My name is Sky.
And I'm Maddie B.
Today, we're hitting something that is serious. Because for some reason, everyone thinks it's an actual, like, thing that helps us. But when it doesn't, they don't know why, maybe.
Yeah. You don't really think about it until you're getting paid.
There it is.
Or I should say, making a paycheck, and then it comes out of your paycheck, and then you're like, you're young, and you're like, what am I doing with this nonsense?
Right.
And then when you're old, you're like, oh, this is paying for my cigars and whiskey. Heck yeah, you know.
So we're talking about Social Security and why we think it shouldn't exist.
Yep.
Let's get toasty. Dude, so I have a few things up, and the first thing I want to just give people a rundown. And this is directly off of SocialSecurityAssociation.gov.
Social Security,
a simple concept. Social Security reaches almost every family and at some point touches the lives of nearly all Americans. It helps older Americans, workers who become disabled, and families in which a spouse or parent dies. As of June 2020, about 180 million use this. Now, what it does is, it pays you, but it's an amount that you put in every paycheck. It's a tax. And at the end of that, they're able to pay you back in a way. The problem that has happened is that from 1935 or whenever it was introduced to now, a lot of things have changed, obviously. So in 1935, it was hard to enter the stock market. People couldn't enter the stock market.
Yeah,
now,
exactly.
It's easy. Everybody
it's beyond
can be
easy. You can buy
it's
a you can
easy.
Buy a piece of a share of a stock.
So now people are starting to compare their retirement and their stocks to Social Security, and they're like, "What the heck?" Because they can easily get an average of 5% return throughout their 30 years of working, 40 years of working, and end up with millions.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Social Security, you put in $400,000-$600,000 or whatever, and you might get that back. Like, you may not get all of it back.
Yeah,
honestly.
But it doesn't become insolvent by the time you retire.
Right.
Opt into it.
It's funny because the same site says Social Security was never meant to be the only source of income for people when they retire. Social Security replaces a percentage of a worker's pre-retirement income based on the lifetime of earnings. The difference in Social Security, though, that for us is because it – one of the biggest things is that it favors the low income. It seems like.
It's progressive.
It is progressive. And obviously, if you don't make a lot of money, you still get a good amount of Social Security. But if you make a lot of money, you don't get a lot of Social Security, right?
Because
that's just the way they do it, I guess. They bring it, and I don't know.
I mean, it's just a redistribution of wealth is all it is.
Right, and the full retirement age for them is 62. Now, speaking of that, I actually did my own calculation, and you can do this on SSA.gov, and it's a benefit calculator basically, right? What you're doing is you're putting in your current earnings for the year, so what you earned, which is actually low for me compared to what I normally make. And it calculates from there. What I asked it to do, though, you can select today's dollars or inflation dollars. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I did inflation dollars. Now, check this out.
Well, who knows what inflation is going to be 30 years from now, you know?
Apparently, they know.
Yeah, I'm sure
so
they
do. So, my current earnings was like $46,000-something for this last year, and I used that. So, then I did benefit of future dollars. Now, my retirement month is June of 2050. When it's supposed to be June of 2050 or 2056 is my actual. So they did 2056. They ignored my request, I guess, because it says your estimated monthly benefit amount beginning at the age of 62 and 1 month in 2056 is $4,192 a month for your estimate. We assumed future increases in price and earnings. Are they crazy? Because look at this. The unadjusted total monthly is $1,680.
Huh.
Where the heck did inflation bring my amount $3,000 ahead? That's insane.
Well,
it's also
attributing for future earnings, it says.
So like family,
so they're assuming
you're
going to be
my
making
whole thing,
six
right?
figures.
That's crazy, dude.
Down the line.
And then it says survivors, your child would get $1,200, your spouse caring for the child $1,200, your spouse at normal retirement age gets $1,700, so your family maximum is $3,100 a month if I die. You know, that this whole thing is crazy. So when my dad died, I actually got Social Security until I was 18. It was like, as soon as you're 18, obviously, you're not a child anymore, I guess. No, it was 16, because we were freaking out about it. We were like, why does 16 shouldn't be the age, and it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, 16 was the age. I don't know, my mom. Yeah, I don't know. It was weird. It's a weird time. Hmm. Weird time indeed. Now we can get to the juice of the podcast.
Okay.
Why are we going, or should we go and get rid of this?
So, I mean, obviously, it's very simple. It boils down to it's taking in less and less money and having to pay out more and more and more. Okay. Our national debt right now is over $20 trillion in outstanding debt. If we tack on unfunded liabilities of Medicare and Social Security, it's closer to $90 to $100 trillion in national debt.
That's $80 trillion
more. Yeah, just because of Medicare and Social Security. It's 60% of government spending. I mean, think about that. We spend, what, $13 trillion a year or something like that? We have a $1 trillion deficit. Well, not in 2020. We have like an $8 trillion deficit in 2020 because of all this COVID stimulus.
Yeah, but, no, for sure.
Which is, of course, also going to drive up inflation, which the Social Security Administration is going to have to make up for, because they promised all these baby boomers all of this money, and we're not paying as much into it. Our generation is not paying it because when it comes to Social Security, because people have that safety net, they're having less kids, they're retiring earlier, and they're not saving. So those three factors, even if it's just like this group over here is not saving as much, this group over here is not having as many kids, this group over here is retiring earlier, but that combination is terrible for the economy. If people retire at 62, that's pretty early, really, when you think about it. Both my parents are still working. They're both 61. They have no plans to retire until at least 65. My granddad worked until he was 74, doing heart surgeries, believe it or not. I was listening to Ben Shapiro, and he actually made a good point that, is retiring even good for you? And I argue that it's absolutely not good for you. It's bad for you because okay, not working at all.
There we go. I was going to say, you have to specify.
Yeah.
Because the thing is that a 30-year-old retiring is not retiring.
Yeah, exactly. If you got a great hobby, or if you have your own business, or if you are traveling a whole lot, that's not a sedentary lifestyle. But if you're sitting there, you know, watching Murder, She Wrote all day and just chilling, eating bonbons.
Right. That sucks.
Nothing.
That's not good for you.
You're going to die earlier.
And that's why, see, when you say retirement should be older, I disagree because of that. So the older I get, the more likelihood of me eating bonbons and watching Murder, She Wrote, right?
Yeah.
So retiring early is definitely a goal of mine. And it doesn't mean that I'm retiring and getting rid of. It means that I could be doing a podcast daily. Like, it means that I could be doing this crap and making money, but I'm not working. And so that's amazing to me.
Yeah, okay. You don't see it as work, but it's still doing something productive, still work. And you're still making an income.
I'm still offering a service and getting income.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. I am. I agree with that. But people see it differently. And so I see it like retiring from BMW of Arlington just happened to me.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm on to my new thing and I own a business or whatever, right? I don't know. It's interesting. And I agree with you. Like, yeah, maybe people shouldn't do that because they shouldn't. It's unhealthy. It's unhealthy for all Americans. And here we are, paying for that.
Yeah.
We're paying for the guy eating bonbons watching Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah.
Just like we're paying for the people that don't want to go out and work. It's annoying. And the more we talk about this stuff, the more I keep saying, I think the whole government needs a complete overhaul.
Yeah.
Because all of these programs were put in place when? The 30s and 40s?
30s, 40s, 50s. Well, no. Okay, hold on. Let's back up just a little bit. Because okay. It really was started in the 30s under FDR to combat the Great Depression.
Right. And he had to do it. And I'm not saying he shouldn't have.
I disagree completely.
You disagree completely?
100%.
Well, he should have at least put timelines on it, even if he had to do it. We always talk about that. Why?
Yeah.
Why
didn't
he like...
Well, the thing is, a lot of times they did put expiration dates and Congress just renew. Look at the Bush tax cuts. George W. Bush cut taxes back in like 2003 because of the dot-com bubble crash. People need a little bit of a tax break, corporations especially.
Yeah.
And they're still in effect. They're still going on right now. President Obama extended them. President Trump extended them. And they're still...
Tax cuts. Just keep going.
Yeah. But when it comes to Social Security and socialist services that the government provides like that, it did start under FDR largely. But really, the very, very beginning of socialism in this country, and it's kind of hard to argue that it is actual socialism. It's more of like, I really don't know a term for it. I would call it like American social programs. And it really started under President Grant, Ulysses S. Grant, because of Reconstruction. Andrew Johnson was the president before him, succeeded Lincoln after the assassination, and he was Southern sympathizer from, Maryland or Virginia, or, you know, one of those like real border states, and at the time, and he was like, no, I'm not even down for Reconstruction. He was impeached because he fired a cabinet member for not following Reconstruction, and then Grant was a big proponent of Reconstruction. And then it eventually failed because the Democrats in the South were implementing his policies. So, long story short, the biggest socialist program started under FDR with Social Security. And he felt like he had precedent from Reconstruction era programs.
Yeah.
And even the Hoover administration before FDR did a lot of smaller government works projects, but they didn't really go far enough because Hoover was much more obviously conservative. He was Republican right before FDR, and he lost re-election to FDR because of the Great Depression and his programs not having enough effect to pull America out of the Great Depression. So FDR implements stuff like Social Security, and then in the 60s Lyndon Johnson added Medicare for the elderly, essentially paying for all their health care, or at least providing a cheap insurance alternative for people that aren't working, because employers provided health care insurance even back then. So
yeah, always.
But really, it's Democrats with Democratic supermajorities. That's typically when they really push those socialist programs like Social Security and Medicaid. The Democrats had a supermajority from like the early 60s to the late 70s. They had the, except for a brief period where Nixon was president.
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
They had 20 years.
Yeah. They had a long time to get stuff done.
Holy crap.
So that's when you see all of these expansions in Social Security and amendments to the Social Security Act. So,
well, let's backtrack a little for a second.
Uh-huh.
Just to make people clear, just real quick, the audience, Social Security is the second biggest thing we supply tax to, or we supply money to. It's 6.2% of your paycheck. Now, if you didn't know, your employer is also paying your Social Security. He's paying another 6.2%. Total of 12.4%. So if you're self-employed, you pay the total of 12.4%. That sucks. The good news is there's a deduction on your taxes for that. So you'll end up paying 6.2% again. Makes zero sense to me why they do that. It's literally like a loophole.
And like, the rate, not just the amount, but the rate has been going up consistently since 1937.
And you have to imagine, like, what is even the rate of return these people get on this trust fund? Social Security goes into a trust fund, and it's called the OASDI. You want to spout off what that is, because I can't remember.
It is the...
I don't know what it stands for. Hold on.
I got it right here. The Old Age Survivors and Disability Insurance
Program. And that is the trust fund they use in order to make returns. It's funny to me, because I don't think it makes, what is it, like 2%? Hold on.
What's that?
How much does it make? You know, I'm trying to look at the return for this thing, and I can't remember. You're giving 6.2% of your paycheck, but then
You know what the OASDI? You said it was 12.4%. So it's been 12.4% since 1990.
Yeah.
You know how much it was in its inception in 1937? 2%. 2% is all of the tax. They taxed you out of your paycheck.
And percentages, people, percentages do not change. Like, it just because it went up does not, it's not because of inflation. It has nothing to do with it. It's still a percentage of your amount of paycheck.
Yeah.
You got to understand that.
It's 2% rate of your paycheck versus 12.4% of your paycheck. And then the Medicare tax rate has gone. Medicare was established in 1966, or at least they started taxing in 1966, at 0.7%.
Yeah.
And now it's 2.9%. Because there's less and less people paying for it, so they need a higher chunk of your paycheck. And what's going to happen when all of the baby boomers that only had one, two, maybe three kids have to have their stuff paid for,
right?
By us and by
the kids are gonna
our
pay,
kids.
The kids are gonna take care of it, and that's my thing. Is like,
even
dude.
More.
So what about privatizing it? You want to abolish it? I understand that, but there's another idea that people have talked about, and that would be literally moving some of it to privatization and giving you a choice. So like Ron Paul was talking about giving you a choice for Social Security, but let's say let's say 1.5% is Social Security, and the other 5%, let's just say it's 5%.
So let me pause you right there real quick. So Ron Paul just real quick said, and when he ran for president in 2012, that he would leave Medicare or leave Social Security. If you're under 25, you could opt into Social Security or opt out of it.
If you're under 25.
If you're under 25.
Now, what is that? I wonder if that means you opt in and you're screwed for life, or if you like.
Or if you can opt out at any time and just cash out.
Every tax season, you can cash out. Like, that'd be interesting to me. And you know how you can give extra tax season? You know that? The IRS lets you, like, say, I want on your W-4 or whatever it is, you say $5 extra a paycheck, and they just put $5 aside for you. I don't trust it, unfortunately, because I know our government.
Of course.
Of course, right? I don't do any calculations or whatever, so maybe they actually do, right? I haven't actually researched that, so don't hold me accountable for that. But that is, like, what he's trying to do, in my opinion. If you don't – so you got to think about, if you don't give away 6.2% of your paycheck – like, they say to give 8% to 10% on your retirement, sometimes 15% if you're, like, behind. That's a lot of money, guys, and I don't think anyone fully is aware here of what's going on. Sadly, I may be a jerk for saying we should not be taking care of the older generation like
that. I should not be taking care of your grandma, and you should not be taking care of my grandma.
Correct.
We should be taking care of our own grandmas, and they should take care of their own self.
Do you know how the billionaires and even the millionaires get rich? They take care of their own money, and it goes where they want it to go. That means their retirement and their everything else. Did you know, as a business owner, I don't have to give all this stuff. I can deduct everything I can. That way I'm not giving taxes. Because you might ask, how does Amazon get away with not putting in Social Security, right? Because it's a tax for everything, even LLCs, even businesses. I don't know about like S-Corps, like corporations, so it might be a little bit different. But if they're not giving a tax, it means they're spending all of their money. Lucky for them, investments count. Does that make sense? So if you guys out there in the audience put all you can into investing, you might actually win as far as not having to pay that Social Security. I don't know how that would work as far. You'd have to have an LLC. You'd have to have a business.
Right.
But beyond that, you can do that. You can pull that off.
Hmm.
A lot of loopholes. And that's the reason that the rich will stay rich. I still don't think Social Security should be a thing.
No, of course not. No. I mean, the return on private investment is way better. Now, my stick about privatizing quote-unquote Social Security is, what part are you going to privatize, and who's going to be in charge of the quote-unquote public's money? You see what I'm saying? Like, if they were just, if the Social Security Administration was just like, you know what, we suck at doing this, which obviously they do because of the government, and they can't get jobs in the private sector, that's why they work for the government. If they just outsource it all to whatever, some mutual fund, you know.
Yeah, well, that's the private company you're talking about.
Yeah,
but we
exactly.
would choose. So it could be Fidelity. Choose. It could be Charles Schwab. It could be whoever you want to use
as long as it was a choice.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's still privatized because you're like, now here's the difference. I guess it's not really because it's still a choice, but
then the government's just a middleman.
At the end of it, look, what we need is motivation and a push to save. So I believe that this should be a present. It should be there where the government's like, hey, you should probably save. Here's your choice.
The thing is, you know? The thing is, because of the Federal Reserve.
Sorry for the train, guys.
Because of the Federal Reserve, you basically have a choice. You could either have high interest rates, which is good, it promotes savings. It decreases eligibility for loans, because you're going to, if the Fed raises rates, that means your savings account, your checking account, if your checking account has a rate, some of them do, some of them don't. But if it does have a rate that the bank basically gives you in return for keeping your money with them, then that rate's going to go up because the Fed raises rates. Now, right. if they raise rates, then loans are going to be at a higher rate. Your auto loan, your mortgage, all of that's going to be at a higher rate because it costs more for the bank to borrow money from the Fed in the first place. Mm-hmm. So it's a trade-off. Like, you can either save more and get less loans, or you can have more loans and less savings. And of course, the policy of the Fed for the last 25 years has been less savings, more loan. That way,
right.
It's supposed to stimulate the. It's kind of Keynesian economics, really. It's just like pumping money into the economy. Don't worry about keeping cash under your mattress because inflation's just going to go up. And that's what the deal is. If you keep interest rates that low,
we're going to bail each other out all the time.
Yeah, and inflation's going to be much, much higher.
And that's what we're in right now.
Exactly.
0%.
Yeah.
Hey guys, if you wanted the full episode, I'm sorry. You need to go to patreon.com/toastypodcast. There, you can find the rest of this episode. Let's keep it going.
Ooh. Just getting toasty, too.
Toasty.